Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. I bet most of you have heard about the Blue Zones, the now quite well-known article in National Geographic magazine, and a book about people in various parts of the world who live long lives. But more importantly, they live vigorous and healthy lives, which is how most of us want to be, no matter how old we live to be. Dan Buettner is the author of the Blue Zones publications, including his newest, Blue Zone Solutions. He's an explorer, a writer, a bicycle rider, and more. Dan Buettner is here on Hawaii Island as part of a project, the Blue Zones Project, that is designed to help us on this island live longer, healthier lives. Aloha, Dan.
Aloha. Great to be here.
I'm curious, Dan, what inspired you to even begin to explore the concept of the Blue Zones, to look for these areas around the world where folks live not just longer, but healthier, more vigorous lives?
I'm a trained explorer, and for National Geographic, I'd led a number of scientific mysteries. And most of them were around archaeology, like why civilizations collapse, or did Marco Polo go to China? And I stumbled upon this great mystery in Okinawa. They had the longest, healthiest women in the world. And I thought, aha, that's a good mystery. So it unleashed my natural penchant for solving a good story.
How did you settle on what I believe is around five Blue Zone areas around the world? How did you find those particular areas and determine they were the areas?
Our criteria is finding demographically confirmed areas where people live the longest. Now, you can measure the longest a few ways. You can look for concentration of centenarians. You can look at highest life expectancy. You can look at who has the best chance of surviving into a healthy old age at middle age. And there's only five of them. And we work with a demographer, Michel Poulon, in Belgium, Gianni Pest in Sardinia. And it's an exercise in crunching worldwide census data, births and deaths, and then doing the math. So these are statistically longest lived places. It's not Dan Buettner that's naming them. I'm simply identifying them.
Why do you call them Blue Zones?
I wish there was a better story, but our demographers, when we first identified the Blue Zone in Sardinia, we were crunching data and drawing increasingly tight concentric circles with a blue Sharpie. And we just started calling the area inside the blue circle on the map the Blue Zone. And then my team extended it to all places where people live a long time. It's just a good term.
Well, I think it's a good story because it doesn't have any magic, significant mystery to it. So thank you for that.
It's not the blue hair.
So I'd like to have you give us a summary of what the key learnings are that you gleaned from spending time with all these folks in Sardinia, Italy, Okinawa, Japan, Loma Linda, California, Ikaria, Greece, and the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica. What do you know now that you didn't know before you started working with these folks?
Well, I struck off hoping to find some diet or some herb or some compound that explained longevity. And it turns out that the biggest insight is that people who live a long time don't necessarily try. It's not the function of will or discipline or personal responsibility. Where people live a long time, it's because they live in an environment where fruits and vegetables are cheapest and most accessible, where grains are plentiful and there's recipes to make them taste good, where it's impossible to be lonely. If you're lonely in this country, it shaves about 8 years off of your life expectancy. In Blue Zones, people live in villages and bump into each other. They're not in their cars, drive-throughs at McDonald's. And they have a vocabulary for purpose, and it tends to be a communal purpose, kind of a, well, they call it ikigai in Okinawa. And then they're nudged into movement all day long. Their life is not full of mechanical conveniences that engineer physical activity out of their life. They're cooking with their hands and gardening and growing their food in their backyard and walking to their friend's house. They haven't got to the place where every single trip occasions getting in your car and shutting a door.
Well, you know, I noticed that the only place in the United States is Loma Linda, California, which I know has a huge older population, a lot of it, I think, due to the fact that it has a big Seventh-day Adventist population. But in general, you're not looking at places in the United States that have gone out of their way to have a lot of gyms and exercise capability and trendy restaurants. So what you're saying is it's just sort of the way we live.
Yeah, gyms don't work in making people healthy. Fewer than 20% of Americans get enough exercise, and yet we spend billions of dollars on all these cockamamie treadmills and fancy gyms, and that's when you look at the longest of people, they never exercised. Again, their life was set up with all-day nudges to move, and I think we have to get back to that. The Adventists, they're a little bit different blue zones. They live in, the highest concentration are in and around Loma Linda, California, but the reason they're living about 10 years longer on average than the rest of us is because A, they eat a plant-based diet, they get their diet right out of the Bible. They tend to hang out with other Adventists, which is another important facet. We're hugely influenced by the people we hang around with, our hooies. And if our hooies are the type of people who sit around and eat chips and watch TV or belly up to a bar, that's what we tend to do. Adventist community, they tend to be really engaged. They're deeply spiritual, hardwired right in their religion is a nature walk. When they get together, it's a plant-based lunch or dinner. So the default, they mindlessly have lifelong better habits. And you can barely see that they're getting healthier before your eyes. But when you look back, and the Adventist Health Study followed 103,000 people for 30 years. They're living 10 years longer than us with a fraction of the rate of heart disease and cancer. So that tells me we should be paying attention to what they're doing and replicate it to the extent we can in other communities.
Well, you mentioned the Adventist diet, and your newest book, The Blue Zone Solution, says food is the centerpiece of health. Talk about that, because I think a lot of people think more along the lines of I've got to go to the gym, which you've already debunked. Talk about food.
Well, it's my own opinion. I think that food is the runway to a healthier lifestyle. So everybody eats 3 or 4 times a day. There's a food network. We like to eat. We gather around eating. So by bringing in a new way of thinking about health via food, it's just an easy way to capture people's attention. So the Blue Zone Solutions set out, I distilled the diets in all 5 longevities into a worldwide average, and we came up with a food guidelines. And I reason that once we get people eating like the longest of people, it's a lot easier to introduce concepts of purpose and moving naturally and having the right social networks. They flow because they're not the way we think about health, but they work.
The communities that you've selected, and even including Loma Linda, they tend to be, I will use the term, sort of isolated communities. You have families that seem to stay together. And so how did you weed out genetics as the factor for why people live long? Or is it an important factor? Meaning, my grandmother lived to be 98, so I'm assuming or hoping I take after her. But then again, the other grandmother died at 68. So how do we deal with the genetic factor?
Well, there's the individual and then there's the population. So if you had 2 parents that made it to 100, the cards are stacked in favor for you to live longer. But we don't know if that's because your genes or because both your grandparents happened to have really good health behaviors that passed on through the generations to you. But we do know that when you look at a population, which is what I deal with, that genes are only 10 or 20% of the equation. The other 80 or 90% are lifestyle environment. So what Blue Zones has tried to do is isolate the lifestyle and environmental factors that are causing longevity around the world. Blue Zones, by the way, these places where people live a long time, are heterogeneous. They are melting pots. So it's not a bunch of people walking around with super genes. It's a bunch of people like you and me who happen to live in a place where the right habits are the norm.
In your books, you talk about sleeping and napping as a good habit. Talk about that.
The longest of people sleep about 8 hours a night. And if you're sleeping less than that, if you're an average American, you're penny wise and pound foolish. Napping is associated with lower rates of heart disease, about a third lower rate of heart disease. And we see this very clearly in places like Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Ikaria, Greece, where people are napping a half hour a day, almost every day.
I'm glad to hear that, because that reinforces the fact that I love to take naps, except it's been too hot lately to really do that effectively.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea.
The Blue Zones technique does not focus, as you said, on exercise per se. It's not going to the gym, but it does focus on what seems to be natural movement. Talk about how we here in any environment like this can make natural movement part of our life. Help us visualize what it is in case it's not something that's obvious to us.
Well, on Hawaii, not so much the Big Island here, but in Oahu, where it's one of the worst situations in the country, if you really want to look the beast in the eye, you take a look at how we let cars take over our culture. We know that if you live in a neighborhood where you can walk to the store or friend's house, they're bikeable, there's public transportation for people to get to work, the physical activity level of that neighborhood is about 30% higher, and the people in that neighborhood have about a 10% lower chance of developing heart disease. That one thing alone. So instead of trying to promote another gym or another Zumba ball class, or what we're trying to do with Blue Zones is talk to policymakers to make sure that streets are designed for human beings and that the car is diminished. It's about getting people out of their car and on their feet, and that's what it's going to take.
And that is something that is a huge issue here on Hawaii Island, because we have long distances between places. We don't have a train system. We have some buses, but it is more challenging. I used to live in the Menlo Park, California area, and I could ride my bike to the grocery store, but I cannot do that here. So I know that our mayor, Billy Kanoi, has been really trying to get more push on ways to do that, but it's good to hear you reinforce it. Now, in your book, The Blue Zone Solutions, you mentioned that you didn't want the Blue Zones to be just another fad, something here today and forgotten tomorrow, which I'm guessing is why you've implemented the Blue Zone projects. And in that, as I understand, you've selected some towns in 9 states, and actually the whole state of Iowa is part of this, to be part of the new Blue Zone project. So what is this new project? Talk about it.
Well, to go back to your last point about the fact that people have long commutes, I'm in 27 cities now, and I find that if we let our teams focus on the hurdles and articulating the hurdles, that those become bigger and bigger. And if you turn the attention of the room to what are the solutions, yes, we have long commutes, but getting people together and list out what are the possible ways where we can change the situation, you find that there is almost always a way. So I don't like to stop at the hurdles. Our team, essentially, in these Blue Zones, it hinges on this notion that you're not going to succeed if you try to change individual behaviors. You have to change the environment. And our teams go into 11 domains into our lives. So at the individual level, everybody in the cities we work in, Waimea and Hilo, will have an opportunity to take a purpose class, which we offer, and join a Moai, which we offer. So that's finding 4 or 5 other people who are healthy-minded and doing plant-based potlucks with them, so you learn how to make plant-based food and learn to like them, and you have a social network around them.
What's a purpose class?
So we have certified experts who come in, and they spend 90 minutes with you, and they take you through a process where it helps you really identify your values, what you're good at, what your passions are, what your skills are, and an outlet for them. People who have a strong sense of purpose live about 8 years longer than people who don't. And the reality in America, most Americans do not like their job. Most America, about 70% of people show up to work and do what they need to do to get their paycheck. Only 30% of Americans actually live out their purpose. So if you're not doing it at work, what is another outlet for it? Either volunteer or it's a hobby. But often nobody even takes the time with people to help them understand what their purpose is and help them articulate it really clearly. If you can't articulate your purpose, there's no way you're going to live it out.
Okay, I interrupted you. You were going to talk about these elements. You mentioned the purpose.
Yes.
And then you mentioned the potlucks, which is something that we on this island love.
Yes, but instead of potlucks around pork, from the Blue Zone Solution, we have this great food guidelines. It's 90% plant-based, and there are 77 recipes that we know taste good. But the reality is people aren't going to start eating plant-based unless, A, they know how to make it, they can identify the local foods that they can put in recipes, and B, they have to know they like it. So that requires that they taste it. And the idea behind these plant-based potlucks is to find five people, all of whom are willing to host one potluck, and then for 10 weeks they switch homes, they try five different dishes, they get to know each other, and they emerge from the experience with not only the knowledge how to make food they like, but friends with whom they can eat it.
And a brief interruption. You're listening to Island Issues. I'm your host, Sherry Bracken. Today we're talking with Dan Buettner, author of The Blue Zones, a story in National Geographic, and a book about the healthiest places on Earth. And now Dan Buettner and his team are working here on Hawaii Island, currently in North and East Hawaii. In fact, this week there will be workshops to implement the Blue Zone plan here on the island, and you are invited. Wednesday at Aupuni Center Conference Room in Hilo, 4:30, Thursday at Waimea Middle School from 5 o'clock to 8. And by the way, as soon as I finish talking with Dan Buettner, I'm going to get some quick comments from Mayor Billy Kanoi, because as you'll hear later, Dan says the county really has to participate in this. So let's get back to my conversation with Dan Buettner, which we recorded at the Waikoloa Marriott 2 weeks ago.
Are there other elements you want to talk about relative to your projects?
Yes. Then another part of our team will go into every restaurant, grocery store, school, and workplace. And we have this pledge and this certification process. It's free, but they have to, in a sense, make their establishment 20% healthier. And we have evidence-based ways to do that. HMSA is doing that on the Big Island in the workplace. And then finally, our team works with policymakers to make food policy such that it favors fruits and vegetables over junk food, with built environments so that streets are built for humans, and then tobacco policy, making it even more denormalized than it is now.
Well, that's a good thing. And as I'm sure you probably know, here on this island, our council member Drew Kanuha introduced a bill to make it illegal for people under 21 to purchase tobacco, including e-cigarettes. We're pretty proud of that, and we don't have smoking at our beach parks. At least it's not allowed. So I think we're in a good place relative to that. You know, you talked about these potlucks, and it seems to go along with your concept that being with friends who share good lifestyles is a really good thing. In your book, you also mentioned that churchgoers tend to live longer. Talk about the elements of churchgoing that make for longer lives.
Maybe churchgoers have less risky behaviors, they might have a better social network, and it might just be that once a week they slow down and focus on something other than their hectic lives in a quiet place. But when you do a meta-analysis of people who show up to a church or temple or mosque, it doesn't matter what your religion is, but do it regularly, once a week, that they're living 4 to 14 years longer than people who don't.
You've selected a number of cities and areas, I guess it would be called, to be part of the Blue Zones project. And really, it's not very many if you're talking 27 areas around the country. How did you select all of the cities in general? And then specifically, you selected the Ko'olaupoko district on Oahu, and then North Hawaii and East Hawaii here on this island. What elements made you select these areas as part of your project?
Since we first did a Blue Zone city in 2008, we've had over 300 cities ask us, and we're only working in 27. And it is a big lift for us to choose a city. First of all, the mayor, the city manager, the big companies, the head of public health, the superintendent of the school, all have to sign a pledge. Because our team's going to come in and work hard, and we don't want to be swimming upstream. We don't want to show up to city council meetings where this is a fight. We show them very clearly, we're coming in here with a number of policies designed to make this environment healthier. If you like what we have, we'll come in. If there is political pushback, keep doing what you're doing, we'll go to another city. And it turns out that Waimea, Hilo, and the windward side of Oahu all meet our criteria. HMSA is the sponsoring organization, so they're picking up the tab for us to work in these communities for years. So you have to have really public support and private funding, and then you have to have a trained team that's going to be in the cities for 3 to 5 years for this to work. It's not a light lift.
So when you say a trained team, you mentioned your team, but I also know Carol Ignacio on this island has been designated as the Blue Zone project leader. So is the team you're talking about some people that are here or your people that come in and stay? How does that work?
Well, I don't live here, and I'm here, so it's a combination. But this doesn't work self-directed. So everybody, Carol and everybody else on the team, they are trained by us. They'll fly up to the States, and they have to demonstrate they understand the work that they're doing, and they have to be proficient. And we actually certify team members to do either the restaurant work or to show up with individuals. And for policy work, we tend to bring in outside experts. We don't come in and tell you what to do. That fails. But we do come in with a menu of evidence-based policies that make cities healthier. And then we work with city councils or island councils to decide what is right for here. And once we identify those, then we're like a terrier on your pant leg to get it done.
Now, here on Hawaii Island, obviously Mayor Billy Kanoi, Managing Director Wally Lau, they've agreed to this. Any comments about what you and they have talked about as far as how it will be implemented here on this island, or anything you want to share that we haven't talked about the project specifically?
Well, I can tell you that I've met a lot of mayors, and there's a lot of mealy-mouthed mayors who say, yeah, we kind of like this. Billy Kanoi, on the other hand, is a guy I know who's got a heart for the people living here. And I know he's sincere. And when he looks me in the eye and says, I'm going to support these policies, of course there's going to be limits. But it's my feeling and my team's feeling that for as long as he's around as mayor, he's going to be a great, great partner in this project. I'm a big personal fan of his.
Did you know him before all this? Because obviously he's been very much into health long before this project came along.
Well, we kind of bond on the bicycling level. We're both big cyclists. But I remember the first meeting I had with him a couple years ago. It was like going to a stand-up routine. You know, most of these meetings are boring as hell. And with Billy, it's like, wow, I would have paid admission to get into this.
I want to ask you something about biking. We do a lot of competitive biking here on this island. As you know, we have the Ironman Triathlon, which has a 112-mile bike component. We have the Ultraman Triathlon, which has a 171-mile bike component. I always thought those were long biking distances. But Dan Buettner, you hold 3 world records for endurance biking. What's the furthest distance you have biked?
Well, in one time, it's 15,536 miles. It was from the top of North America, the bottom of South America, Alaska, and Argentina, which I know sounds difficult, but it was all downhill.
I hate to ask this, but you must be nuts to bike 15,000 miles.
Well, it sounds harder than it is, actually. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an explorer, and that's my purpose. That's my kuleana. Biking 15,000 miles was really a chain of 80 or 90 mile bike rides, and they were through the most gorgeous parts of the world. So I wake up every morning and it just feels like I've been blessed. And eventually you do it for 305 days and you find yourself at the other end of the world.
Well, you also, for some of them, at least one where you went across Russia, you seem to tie it in with a project involving students.
Yes, so we also biked around the world at the 45th parallel, and we biked across Africa. And at the end of the day, travel for its own sake is empty. And I've always had this deep belief that if you're going to travel, you should be able to tell a good story about it, or educate, or somehow add to the body of knowledge. And I've been doing that my entire adult life. And Blue Zones is yet just another manifestation of it. It was travel, but I think the findings illuminate the human condition.
Dan Buettner, final comments before we say aloha?
Well, just that I'm honored to be on the Big Island here. It's no small matter in my mind to have been invited here. I know that over the next 3 to 5 years, as my team and I work here, that the wrong way to come here is to think we know something better than people living here. Our job is to listen, find out what the situation is here, find out the sensibility, and then figure out what we have can mesh in a culturally appropriate way. But I will tell you, the goal is to leave here and be able to look back 5 years and say, we did these 12 things that made this a healthier environment. Otherwise, we failed. And I don't intend to fail.
Thank you so much, Dan Buettner. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you. Mahalo.
And Friday afternoon, I gave Mayor Billy Kanoi a call to find out what his take on the Blue Zone project is. Hey, Mayor, it's Sherry Bracken. How you doing?
Aloha, Sherry. How's it going?
Good. Listen, I talked with Dan Buettner about a week ago, and we're airing the interview Sunday morning, and I wanted to ask you a couple things, because he mentioned support of the local government officials is really important, and I know you've met with Dan Buettner. What do you see the role of the county in implementing the Blue Zones project here on Hawaii Island in East Hawaii and North Hawaii?
Well, first of all, since early on in our administration, with the recognition that spiraling costs for health care, paying for 2,500 county employees and their families and retirees, and having health care costs go up 23% annually year over year, that was an unsustainable business model, that health care costs would hurt not just employees and their families, but hurt all of the taxpayers for the county of Hawaii. And when we look at just the incredible challenges of healthcare, and we know there's, you know, the American Affordable Care Act at the national level, that here in the state of Hawaii, we have our healthcare challenges and gaps in service, and especially in the rural communities as Hawaii Island is. But what we learned that was amazing for us on a county level was a simple solution of, hey, you guys, prevention. You don't need to tackle a new cardiology lab, or you don't need transformative insurance copay and health care, or focus on long-term care. What we should also focus on here at home is simple prevention. And so when the Blue Zones project came up, and as you probably talked to Dan, who's this amazing guy, but, you know, as a National Geographic researcher and going around the country, and he found these incredible places that didn't just talk about longevity, but living well. And places like Okinawa that most of us in Hawaii know, but it's Costa Rica, it's Sardinia in Italy, it's Loma Linda because of Seventh-day Adventist lifestyles in California. And when we looked at that, we said, hey, we should work hard to partner with HMSA and Blue Zones, because they're what we're trying to do, you know, by creating more bikeways, pathways, and pedestrian ways, when we improve highways, when we build new roads, that we make it user-friendly for people outside of their cars. I mean, we live in Hawaii. We should have, you know, bigger sidewalks and places that encourage healthy activity. Investing in new triathlons here in East Hawaii, or supporting ongoing prevention recreational activities, or taking Mauna Kea State Park and turn it into Mauna Kea recreational area for families and people to be and get healthy. So Blue Zones went out to the state, and they asked the mayors and the different counties to participate and apply, you know, and it's these, all these goals in your community. And they looked at Hawaii County and said, wow, there's the first county that raised tobacco to the age of 21, one of the first in the country. And wow, look at this commitment to health, and look at the simple community-based steps they're taking. So out of three Blue Zone projects in the state of Hawaii, two of the three were designated for Hawaii Island, which we're very appreciative of and very proud of. And after Dan Buettner's visit, they were also looking at it in West Hawaii. So we think it's a great project. It'll provide education, it'll provide community outreach, and it'll encourage businesses in our communities, schools in our communities, government agencies, nonprofits, to engage everyone in our community, from our seniors and kupunas down to our children and our keiki, and engage the whole family to make Hawaii Island the healthiest community we can be. Because it's not just good for quality of life, it's not just good for community health, well-being in general, but it's also enormous cost savings to everyone in our community. We might not be able to impact healthcare on a global level in Washington, D.C. or in Honolulu, but if we start with our own selves, our own families, and our own communities, then we'll certainly have a significant and substantial impact on quality of health, quality of life, and longevity of life for our community. And we think it's a worthy goal, and one that we're very excited about being a part of.
Great, Mayor. Now, Dan said that HMSA is funding most of their work. Does the county need to provide funding, or is just doing the kind of projects you've been doing, you know, creating parks and some of the things you've mentioned, is that just going to happen naturally, or does the county have to put in extra funding?
No, we're just using our ongoing resources. HMSA is hiring staff. And when you see, like, Carol Ignacio sign up with HMSA and Blue Zone for our community, you know you got your community's best advocate. And so a lot of good people are a part of it, but there's no additional funds from the county. What we're doing right now with Elderly Activities Division in the park for our seniors, what we're doing with Summer Fun and the kids, what we can do with legislation with the council's leadership and participation, what we can do with public works projects and the roads that we're doing, improvements, and with parks and recreation. We have a lot of projects on the books. North Hawaii Blue Zone area is also the recipient of the Waimea Community Park, District Park, that is starting shortly. Out in East Hawaii, of course, we have Puna Community Park that's being built, the Mauna Kea recreational area that I mentioned. So just our investment in existing and proposed capital improvement projects and the funding that we currently provide in existing departments, planning's also getting involved. So there's a lot that still can be done that doesn't require money. To your question of, is the county putting in more money into Blue Zones? The answer is no. But our partnership, we believe, will maximize the investments we're already making.
Thank you so much, Mayor Billy Kanoi. Aloha.
Thank you so much, Harry. Take care. Aloha. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, now we know the Blue Zones project is here on Hawaii Island. If you can, take part in the design workshops this Wednesday, Aupuni Center Conference Room in Hilo, 4:30. Thursday, Waimea at Waimea Middle School at 5. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. I'll see you next Sunday for another Island Issues. And until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi hou.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Island's Mahalo Multimedia. Media.